the rest of the story. Friedrich Wieck. W-I-E-C-K. Was only protecting his daughter. So he convinced himself. She, Clara, her amazing musical talent apparent since early childhood, could have and should have the world at her feet, proclaiming her genius as a pianist, and yet now, still a teenager, she had committed the two unpardonable sins for somebody so considerably gifted. One, she had fallen in love, and two, she had fallen in love with a loser. And so it was that Father Friedrich, a hard, uncompromising man to begin with, decided for the sake of his brilliant daughter and the future she deserved, he would exercise the extremes of his hard and uncompromising character. He would fight this lazy opportunist who sought at best to put Clara behind a perambulator and at worst to ruin her life. He would fight this arrogant young man if necessary to the death, and, well, this is the rest of the story. Clara Wieck was already an internationally famous pianist when she revealed to her father that her heart belonged to a failed law student named Robert. Perhaps what pained Friedrich most was that he had actually introduced his daughter to this heathen, for indeed Robert had taken piano lessons from the old man for many years, had even boarded in the Wieck household for a time when Clara was still a child, and Robert, 9 years her senior, thought of himself as an older brother, but now clearly things were out of hand. Now it was war. Friedrich commanded Robert never to come near his daughter again, threatened to shoot him if he tried, and then he forbade Clara even to communicate by letter with this no-talent ne'er-do-well. When that failed to stop them from seeing each other, Friedrich set out to malign Robert publicly, to accuse him of habitual drunkenness and moral depravity. Robert wanted Clara only for her money, the old man insisted, and the old man forged condemning documents to substantiate those false claims. Friedrich Wieck even filed a lawsuit against Robert to prevent further association with his daughter. And that battle raged for more than 4 years. And yet the love of Robert and Clara persisted through the interminable time and the harsh adversity, and on the morning of Saturday, September 12, 1840, the two became one, and only death did them part. It was Robert's death that parted them 16 years later, but their love lived on. For throughout the remaining 40 years of Clara's own life, she would devote herself exclusively to her instrument and to her late husband's memory and to his music. For Robert, however unsuited either to a legal profession or to a career as a pianist, Robert managed during his years in love with Clara Wieck to compose music for the piano, monuments to the passionate love and the pianistic genius of his wife. And while Robert's music was widely dismissed as eccentric and trivial while he lived, when he died, his brilliantly gifted pianist wife made people listen to it, force-fed it to her audiences, and eventually, over the decades, people did listen and even came to share her love for it. Today, Clara Wieck is all but forgotten. And yet on the walls of concert halls throughout the world, way up there near the ceiling in the stratosphere of composer heaven, are emblazoned the names of the greats, Bach and Beethoven and Brahms and often one more, Robert Schumann. Now you know who put it there and why. Because now you know the rest of the story.